Bible in hand and turn to the book of Galatians, I'll tell you what chapter when we get to that part of the message. The book of Galatians.
Determination is an important thing. I have a few quotes that I'd like to share regarding it. One of the things that I want to share is regarding, it's about Andrew Jackson. Andrew Jackson, one of his boyhood friends said, "I could throw Andrew 9 out of 10 times, but he wouldn't stay throwed." Thinking about the matter of determination, Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16 says, "For a just man falleth 7 times and rises up again." And of course, the number 7 there not being used as the actual number of times that it happens, that the, in other words, he wouldn't get up after number 8. It's a number in the Bible of perfection. And a just man falls 7 times. No matter how often he falls, the just man isn't going to stay down. He's going to get up again. And he'll get up again. Men who have moved the world have been men whom the world could not move. I want to repeat that. You think about that for the world that you live in. Men who have moved their world have been men whom their world could not move. Have determination. David Livingston said, "I will go anywhere provided it is forward." Curtis Hudson, former editor of The Sword of the Lord, pastor in the Atlanta, Georgia area, he said this: "Surrender is signing your name at the bottom of a blank sheet of paper and allowing God to fill in all the details." Indeed, that is surrender. The man who walks with God always reaches his destination. Psalm 37 verse 23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and the Lord delights in it, and so does the man who walks with the Lord." So in Galatians chapter 5, I want to begin reading just 4 verses, beginning at 7. Paul says, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be." Who hindered you? It's not how you start, but how you finish that is important. Keep on keeping on is what the old saints used to say. Some start out strong and they run well for a time, but then they stumble and fall. Start strong, run well, and keep going. The Galatian believers had started to depend on the law of Moses after they had gotten saved by grace. If you look in the book of Galatians at chapter 3, Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident. For the just shall live by faith. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. Now, in the sight of man, in the sight of others, he may be able to feel justified. He may be able even to act justified in the sight of others, but not in the sight of God. And God's the one who matters when it comes to this subject of justification. Today, many, and it's not just today, it's been this way for a long, long time, longer than I've ever been around, and longer than the people that were before me were around. That's a long time, all right? Today, many feel God saves them as a sinner, but then they stay saved by their own good living. No. That never worked. That was never true. It'll never work today, and it's still not true today. Well, they feel that they have to guarantee their salvation. They have to secure it. That's not what the Bible says. Now, you're in Galatians. Go back one book to Ephesians. I want to look at Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to begin at verse 11. So many. Now, there are some groups who their theology teaches that you're saved by grace, but then you stay saved by your godly living. But there are a lot of people who they don't have that as a theology, a teaching, but they live that way. Okay? They believe that they're saved by grace, but then they think that, you know, really, they got to live it, because if you don't live it, then they have doubts. And so Paul says something else, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom, that's in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, here it is, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. There's your guarantee. That's the guarantee of salvation. That's the certainty of salvation. The Holy Spirit who came in and regenerated you, sealed you. And then he goes on and he develops that thought. Look at verse 14. Which is the Holy Spirit, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of his glory. Until Jesus comes back again and takes us as his bought ones, as his children, until he comes back again, you see, we have the earnest of our inheritance. Now, you know, when I first got saved and first was reading and studying the Bible, I didn't know about earnest. Okay, that's not a man's name. Well, it is a man's name, but that's not what it's talking about. Okay, the earnest of our inheritance. If you go to take a loan or get a mortgage or do any kind of legal transaction, they're going to want to know what your earnest money is. Okay, and they want to know what you are putting down to make certain that you'll pay for this thing that you're buying. What is your guarantee? Your guarantee that you're going to do what you say you're going to do. That's your earnest money. Amen. Okay? Now, God's earnest, it isn't earnest money, but God's earnest, God's guarantee that he's going to do what he said he would do is right here when we were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. That's the guarantee of our salvation, of what the Spirit of God has done and is doing with us. Vance Havner, he's in heaven, been there for many, many years, but he was like A.W. Tozer, okay? They were men who set the trend in their day, just like we have men today that is setting the trend within the greater church, the body of Jesus Christ. Vance Havner wrote, "People can be as straight as a gun barrel theologically, but as empty as a gun barrel spiritually." Okay, yeah, yeah. Now, I use that to introduce the Ephesian believers. In Revelation, if you want to turn there, the book of Revelation, we were watching Jeopardy the other night, and the answer to the one Jeopardy question under the Bible category was the book of Revelation. Only the fellow that gave it said Revelations.
I was going to say good job when you said
yeah, that. Yeah, Revelations. And I forget the guy's name who heads that thing up. And Alex Trebek, yeah. And he said, no. He said, there's no S on it. And the guy missed the question. He knew the answer, but he missed it because he didn't say it correctly. There's no S. It's only one revelation. Now, it's got many parts in it, but it's one revelation that God made. All right, now let's go to look at the book of Revelation chapter 2. And it says here in verse 1, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks." All right, there's seven churches in the book of Revelation as it starts out. Each one of them is called a candlestick. And the angel of the church of Ephesus, angel being a messenger. And a messenger, there are those who believe that this means the pastor of the church at Ephesus. Now, whether that's exactly what it means or not, I don't know, but it sounds reasonable to me. And he says, I want you to write these things about the church of Ephesus. Verse 2, he says, "I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted." Straight as a gun barrel. Theologically, they tried things, they tested them to be sure they were all right. But that's not the end of the chapter. Verse 4. "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." Vance Havner said they were straight as a gun barrel, but he also said because they left their first love, they were as empty as a gun barrel spiritually. You see, they knew with their head what ought to be, but they didn't live with their heart what they began with. They began with it, but they left their first love. You know that the first, when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, one fruit, several aspects. And the first aspect of the fruit of the Spirit is love. And the Ephesian Christians were known for their love to all saints. You can read that in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, their love to all saints. But now here they are, and it says they've left their first love. And he says if they don't repent and change from that, they're going to lose their place as a candlestick. Now, there have been people that don't understand, and they've looked at this idea that if you don't repent and from what you're fallen, I'm going to take your candlestick out. And they say, see, you can lose your salvation. No, listen, the Church of Ephesus was a congregation. Okay? And that, and each of the seven, there we go, seven churches, okay, each of them had a purpose and a reason for existing and a way that God wanted to use them. And the Ephesian church was not, because they left their first love, they were not going to be able to accomplish what God wanted with them. And if they didn't get things straightened out, they were going to lose their spot. God was going to take their candlestick and remove it. Now, that's he's not talking about individuals. If Black Creek Baptist Church doesn't stay true to the Word of God, okay, God will remove our candlestick.
That's right, yes, sir.
God will take the church and set it aside. Now he's not talking about the individuals within it that make up. That's an individual salvation. Here he's talking about the congregation of the Ephesian Christians, the what we would maybe refer to as the organized church. How often have you heard? I know through the years I've heard many times where people of a given church will pray, and I do not specifically remember hearing it here, but it would not surprise me but what it was prayed here in our men's prayer group out in the back Sunday school room, okay? But Lord, let us be a lighthouse for Jesus. Okay, doesn't that sound so impressive? Lord, we want to be a lighthouse for Jesus. Well, that's what the Ephesians were, but they left their first love. And God said if they didn't get things straightened out, he was going to remove them. And there's a lot of churches around this country of ours that were once on fire for God. They once stood on the Word of God and proclaimed the Scriptures and served God as God intended. But now, what we find written over their doors, not that you can read with the eyes that are in your head, but what's written over the door is Ichabod. The Spirit of the Lord hath departed. Ichabod. So many churches today are dark and empty. Good night. It's a Wednesday night. Drive around the Allegheny, Cattaraugus County. Drive around the area. And see how many, I mean, other than the coronavirus condition, okay? Not talking about the immediate time because of the virus. But when things are normal, the old normal, okay? You drive around and the churches are closed. The churches are dark. They're not open. Why? Well, I'm sure there are individual specific reasons, but one thing I think that would be applicable, and that is that they have left their first love. It's not what we say that counts, but it's what we do. Paul, in writing his second letter to Timothy, said, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. There are many that have a form of godliness, and things look good, things sound good, and but they're empty. Empty, empty, empty. Well, then there's another one here, you see. We saw, first of all, that some started out strong, like the Galatian believers, but then, like the Ephesian believers, they departed and left their purpose that God had intended for them. And now we look in the book of Revelation at chapter 3 and in verse 16. And there we read about the Laodicean church. Okay? The Laodicean church. Now, in verse 16 we read, well, verse 15, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. The Laodicean Christians were in danger because they were lukewarm. My, my, my. You know, I have actually heard some individual, now this again is a church, a congregation that's being dealt with and described, but I have heard individuals say, well, you know, I'm not on fire for the Lord like I ought to be. And I'm not cold either.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And I think, boy, you don't know your Bible, do you? That's certainly not something you would want to verbalize. It may be true, but keep your mouth shut, you know. And these are letters in the opening of the Revelation. These are letters to individual congregations. However, the things that are said in it, we can understand how those conditions can be applied to individuals. Just like in Ephesus, where their problem was they left their first love. As a church, they did not operate anymore by the love of God. But whatever motivations they had, it was not the love of God. Well, now that can be true and descriptive of an individual, even though Revelation is not talking about individuals. And that's the same way here with the Laodicean church. Neither cold nor hot, and he'll spew them out of their mouth. Again, they're going to lose their place as a candlestick, as a congregation, for the purpose that God had them there. God had a purpose when he put Black Creek Baptist Church here. He had a purpose when he put a Baptist church, I don't know what the beginning of it is, but the Baptist church down in Cuba. Okay. He had a purpose when he put a Baptist church in Olean. Now there's a couple acceptable ones down there in Olean, but the first one that's there, it's called First Baptist Church, okay? God had a purpose for putting it there. Well, let's just stay right here at home. God had a purpose for putting us here. And God wants to achieve that purpose, so we've got to be sure we keep things in line with the Lord. And so they were useless, the Laodicean Christians. They either better get hot or cold. If they were cold, God could maybe get them, you know. You can reach somebody who's cold quicker than you can reach somebody that's lukewarm.
Right.
Because if they're lukewarm, they think, well, you know, things aren't
that bad.
They sure do. Well, they are that bad. And if they're hot, you don't have to reach them because they're on fire for the Lord. And so... But they were useless to the Savior. You've heard it said already, get on or get off, get in or get out, get up or get down, get hot or get cold. Useless. That's a hard term. And if we were to use today's terminology, you know what we'd say? Well, they're not achieving their maximum. Or we might say, well, they're no longer productive. And those are both descriptive terms. Okay, not achieving their maximum. But why? Because they were lukewarm. They're no longer productive. Yes, that's an accurate description, but it doesn't address why. Where what God said indeed addresses the why. These people were hindered. They did not keep on keeping on. Well, What are some things that can hinder us? I'm going to go back now to the 1 Kings. Okay, 1 Kings. I'm going to go to chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter 22, the last chapter in the first book of Kings. 1 Kings 22, I'm going to read verse 51. And Ahaziah, who's there? Ahaziah, well, that first guy's name there, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria, the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and he reigned 2 years over Israel, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of his father and in the way of his mother. So he was hindered by his mother and father.
Yeah, right.
You know that there are young people that are hindered.
That's right. Yes, sir.
By their parents. Maybe that their parents aren't saved and they go to Sunday school or a youth group or through a Christian friend, they come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, and then they are hindered by their parents who discourage them from going to Sunday school and church. But there are Christian parents also who can hinder their children, failing to set a godly example, failing to instruct and teach and lead and guide their children. There are many ways that we could think of how a parent can hinder a child. But then a husband and wife can do that. Job, remember Job when he was in the midst of all of his problems and boils everywhere, and he was just, things couldn't seemingly get worse. And what did his wife tell him? His wife said, curse God and die. She hindered Job. Fortunately, he resisted her. And therefore, he came out with victory. Your husband or your wife can hinder you. You know, I have seen way too many times, where you got this couple, and they're both nominal Christians, both very placid in their Christian living, and then one of them decides they're going to live for the Lord, and they begin to yield to God. They begin to read their Bible. They begin to get involved in church. And they begin to grow. And then if it's a wife, then she begins to put the brakes on. Okay? She just discourages. She hinders him in doing what he was going to do. I've seen it to the extent already where such a fellow drops out. And that's a shame. Okay, now he oughtn't to drop out. He should have had the strength to stand. All I'm saying is he was hindered by his wife. And it goes the other way. I've seen it where there was a wife that wanted to live for the Lord. And then the man, he hinders and he discourages. And he has all kinds of reasonings, he'd say, excuses for why we can't do this, why you shouldn't do that. And so who hindered you? Is it a trusted friend? Job had three friends who at times gave good advice, but nevertheless, they were not really supportive of Job. And then look at Matthew. Jump back to the book of Matthew and chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16, we're going to see an individual that a good friend was going to hinder him. But now in this case, the man was strong enough, it didn't work. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 22, then Peter took him, that'd be Jesus, and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he, Jesus, turned and said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. He knew, Jesus knew who was in Peter. And so sometimes it can be a Christian friend who has things to say that hinder you. Recognize that hindrance is ultimately coming from the one who wants to defeat you, Satan himself. And so, gossip. Oh, boy, gossip's another thing that hinders. Why do people gossip? What help is it? Great harm comes from gossip, and it usually involves partial information. Okay, where a person only has partial information and then goes on and runs their mouth with somebody else. And in the disguise of prayer, you know, we really need to pray for so-and-so. I'm not really positive about this, but I overheard, okay? Or somebody told me, and I don't want to say who, but they told me, and they gossip. gossip has hindered many a person. The solution is to stay close to the Lord. Stay close to the Lord. And you know in your life who the gossips are. Avoid them. Avoid them. You say, well, they're a friend of mine. No, they're not a friend of yours.
That's right.
Not if they're going to gossip.
That's right.
And if they'll gossip to you about somebody else, guess what? You can count on it. They'll gossip about you.
That's right.
To another person. You say, well, I don't believe they would. Oh, the Bible says the leopard can't change its spots.
That's right.
Neither does a gossip. They have to get born again. You say, well, the one I'm thinking of, they are a Christian. Check it out.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that they aren't. I'm just saying, check it out.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And then if they are, then talk to them. Talk to them. Gossip. Gossip can be bad. You know, I've told you before, I like to read the comic papers. And Pat does the puzzles that are on the comic page. And then when she's done with it, she lays the comics over for me. And there's one there for better, for worse. Okay? And the man in it is John, and the wife in it is Ellie. Now, right now in the strip, Ellie just had a baby. They have two teenage children, and they got surprised. They had a whoops, okay? And so they had this baby. Well, right about now, John's second cousin, three times removed, wanted to come and visit. What they learned later, Fiona in the comic strip, okay, was a leech. And she would move in with people and sponge off of them. And so, I mean, it was putting pressure on the whole family. And she said she is looking for work. Well, what she did was she played the ponies. And she was looking to hit it big. And so finally, John talked to her. And she said, I know I ought to leave. And then John got soft-headed. And he said, well, eventually you need to go. But then things got worse and worse. And so finally, now John's a dentist. Okay? So in his dental office, he has a dental assistant. And John says to his dental assistant, he says, I'm going. I've had it. I've got to go. She said, well, where are you going? He said, call my patients, cancel them. I'm going to get an apartment. She said, an apartment? Then she began to gossip. And as the comic unfolded after several nights, several of Ellie's supposed friends had John and Ellie splitting up and divorcing. And it all started with partial information, actually with an assumption. Okay, I'm going to get an apartment. And then he comes in one day all happy. He said, I got an apartment. Life's going to be good, and she's going to move into it tonight. Oh, my lands, that set off a whole other round of gossip. Okay, and then the different squares, you know, blocks show the different friends talking together. And it's in the comic papers. But really, there's nothing funny about it. Because that's exactly how things go. That's how things go. And here what he did was went and laid out some good money to get his cousin an apartment so he could get her out of the house. And then he paid the first month and the last month. Anything in between, she was responsible for. And she probably ended up moving on. We haven't gotten that far in the cartoon yet, so I don't know where we're at. But listen, like I say, in the comics, it's humorous. But the reason you pay attention to it is because it's true to life. Who hindered you? Was it somebody who gossiped? And you ended up having to pick up the pieces? It can be wrong associates too that can hinder you. Psalm 1 verse 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, you have ungodly people around you. You can't avoid them. That's one point of contact to witness. But it's one thing to have unsaved, ungodly people that are in our lives, and it's another thing to walk in their counsel. We're to walk in the counsel of God and godly people, not in the counsel of the ungodly. Proverbs 1:10 says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Young people, you are going to run into those of you that are older and are going to be going out into the world, the workaday world. Some may go to college, some may go to the military. I don't know where you're going to go, but you ought not to go in your mom's basement. You say, "My mom doesn't have a basement." That's good for you then. Get out and get on your own. But anyway, the point is, when sinners entice, they don't consent to it. We have a young man. He was several things in the Army. He was a drill sergeant at one time. He's not that anymore. A Christian young man, Kevin Back. Okay, you two and men in the back there, you know Kevin Back. And Kevin, he said that the sinners that he lived around in the military, they would endeavor to entice him. And they would come to him and they'd say, "Oh, Kevin, there's a fella down at the gate. He wants to see you." Well, and Kevin didn't just automatically believe them. He knew how they operated. And so he would go out and reconnoiter it. And he said he'd go out and he'd look. And he didn't go right up to the gate. He'd go where he could look and he could see. And then there he'd see a hooker. These fellas had set him up with a woman. And so he knew, you know, what was going to happen. So he didn't go then. He learned to not walk in the counsel of the ungodly.
Amen.
He learned to not let sinners entice him. He's married to a Christian girl, okay? They've got a baby, and he serves the Lord every place that he's ever been stationed. He goes to church. He finds a church. I said, "How do you find him?" He said, "I look for him."
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, that's one way. That's about the only way. But, and so, what hindered you? What hindered you? Now, let me ask this question. Are you hindered? Mm-hmm. You see, not everybody sitting here is hindered.
Right.
Not everybody sitting here is hindered. There are those who are sitting here that are determined that they want to live right, they want to do right. And so they're making the kind of choices. Now, they're not perfect, okay? They're not perfect. They're not without flaws, but they're making right choices. But if you're here and you are hindered, who hindered you? Identify it, deal with it. Father in heaven, thank you for this day, for the Lord Jesus Christ and his great love. Thank you for your word. Enable us to live it, we pray, Father, day by day.